up this morning before the sun. Grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with fishing Frank.
That's because I didn't turn the recorder on the first time.
Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is fishing Frank. Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to fishing Frank's. You gotta go to fishing Frank's, the one who knows is fishing Frank.
Okay, take two.
Take two.
Take two. These guys are giving me grief because I forgot to turn the recorder on the first one. Yes, we're pre-recorded dead.
Right.
Because this isn't a live show, so if you're not doing a live show, you're doing dead show, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think that stands to reasonability.
There's a word.
I like that.
Well, you know, that's the way it goes. Okay, Fishing Frank here. Robert Nutcher across from me, and we got Captain Morris Campbell with us, and this is the Area Fishing Report, or this will be the Area Fishing Report. You ever call somebody's phone and you get the voicemail and says, you've reached so-and-so? I wish for once someone would put, well, you've almost reached so-and-so, or this is so-and-so's phone, but I'm not going to answer because I don't want to talk to you. You know, not you've reached, because I haven't reached anybody. So, anyway, let's see. Oh, I got on the wrong page here. All right.
Reached a ghost.
Report. Yeah, I've reached a ghost. All right, here we are. We're on the fishing report page. Peace River, great reports of big snook from Harbor Heights up past the Navigator.
Oh, there you go.
And
after that cold front last weekend, that's mm-hmm. not super surprising. You know, got low enough tide with that cool air, actually started to cool the water down a little bit.
Current flows are down, too.
Oh, they're down to virtually nothing up there.
Wait a minute, let's see, because that big rainstorm went by. I'm really praying that that's going to do it. Fishingfranks.com, click weather and tides, bottom of the page, Peace River button. And remember, we need 800 cubic feet per second to keep us free of red tide. And 333. It came up almost an eighth of a foot. We're still at less than 3 foot. Not even 2.5. Oh, God, that's horrible. In 2006, at this point, we had 3,390. The average is 418. But, hey, you know, it's... That's sad. I was kind of hoping with all that rain, because we had that big front and went off, and it fed the entire Peace River. Maybe it just hasn't come down yet.
Yeah, a lot of it went in the ground, too. It was a little drier.
It was very dry, yep. Okay. Anything else going up on up the river?
Juvenile tarpon from what I've been hearing, along with a couple of that, you know, sub-adult 60, 80-pound size. And they've been same haunts there from Harbor Heights all the way up to just the Navigator area and even a few up towards Shell Creek. You know, people are seeing a lot of them. I don't know about anybody catching them, but they're definitely been seeing them, along with the whole influx of gar that have been trying to run up the river to get away from the salt that's building up after being pushed down.
Probably some bass that are making that trip back up, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know. We never did. This year, years like this when we had a lot of rain, when the river's running low, 11, 12 feet for weeks and weeks, usually somebody catches some bass down by 41. And never heard of it this year.
Yeah.
Well, maybe because that north end of the bridge was closed so much. Now, yeah. I did see we are going to get there, and we'll talk about it then, I guess, getting out of order here. I-75?
Some juvenile tarpon and a couple of black drum. Overall, pretty quiet, but it's going to get better.
Water temperature
is dumping. You'll start seeing trout and everything else moving up there within the next few weeks, I would say.
I would say they're probably there. All right, we're at the 41 bridge. I can talk about it now.
Okay.
Zip, zip. Okay, now I'm into what I want to say. What do you think decorations, Robert? Doesn't it look festive in here now?
It actually looks like the way your office should look.
Did you see next to you?
I see that.
Your mom?
My wonderful mother.
Yes, your mom's right there next to you.
A week here from today.
Yes. So, anyway.
It's going to make me crazy for the next 3 weeks.
You're lucky she doesn't listen to the show, because she's coming.
If you're listening,
knows.
Mom.
She knows. I tell her that in a skinny minute right to her face, but it's all in good love.
Yeah.
No, this is the way your office should look. You should have your plaques up and your memories and stuff like that around.
That's right.
And yeah, looks good. I've got
your Woody bobber. And
my Woody, yeah. The only bobber that gets as excited as you do when you hook a fish.
I don't know about him, though.
Yeah, my dad.
I don't think he gets very excited anymore.
Yeah. Did you get that boat moved yet?
Yep. Yeah, okay. With all my spare time. Thanks. Let me put in 75 hours a week in, Pops. Thanks.
Just man. I got up this morning a little bit before 6. I was outside having a cigarette. Telephone rings. It's Jeff. The internet's down. Nothing's working at store. Okay, be right there. All right. 41 Bridge. The north end they were working on, redoing that walkway, and they still got that stupid area over there. It looks like it's about a half a foot off the water.
Yeah.
Did you see that in between the bridges, like going underneath the southbound lane? I keep looking at that going, really? Why would you put something so low to the water?
Well, that way they can experience the salt water splashing in their face when there's a cold front.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. Hopefully they're going to... And why build it in the shape of a roller coaster? As I'm looking at it, it looks like it goes up and then goes down. They get some really cool side things. They put a couple little fishing piers out there, the little side things off for probably fishermen and stuff. They have some of it that's really awesome ideas, and other ones is just as dumb as a bag of rocks. I mean, that's stupid, like the bag the rocks come in.
Right.
I mean, I don't get it. Fishing pier... Get away from the water. Raise it up as much as possible. That way it doesn't get destroyed every time we have a storm.
Right.
Small storm's going to take that out.
Yeah, I mean, good God. You know, boy, thing gets loud.
Compressor.
Yeah. That's one heck of a little air conditioner. I'm probably going to have to replace that one. All right. Anyway, we're at the 41 Bridge.
Tarpon.
We talked about the new little piers and all that kind of stuff. Tarpon.
Tarpon. There's really? Tarpon there in the evenings. And
I'm
going to
put tarpon, Robert says.
There's a lot of bait there, too.
Been some snook there and a few black drum. And I've heard of a couple of trout being caught off of there, but mostly smaller guys. But still a few starting to show up and linger around. And, of course, a lot of little baby mangrove snapper all over it.
All right. Are they still catching little Goliaths over by the other?
Yeah. Yeah. There's still been some caught here and there off of there. I haven't heard a lot this week. Unlike, what was it? Week 2 weeks ago, it was like a handful of people all week long were catching them.
There's some Spanish.
Then you go there with the scientists to try to catch them, and you're going to just crapshoot.
What I think is awesome, these people come in, well, it can't be a Goliath grouper. It's too small. I'm like, really? Do you really think that they're born 6 foot long and 600 pounds? They're born in a little tiny egg, smaller than, you know, like a BB, the size of a BB, for guys.
You know, they're 400-pound fish. I mean, you have to watch out for those eggs. You run over one, it breaks your prop.
Wow. You know, it's just funny how people get the idea that just because it ends up as a big fish, it must start as a big fish.
Yeah, I've seen people with the clip metal stringers, and they said, I asked them how they were doing there at Palm Island this ages ago, and the guy pulls up the stringer and says, we're catching some really nice groupers. We got 6 of them, and they were all Goliath groupers.
Right.
But 3-pounders.
They were blacks.
Oh, yeah.
Or gags or something.
Yeah. All paddle tails.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lashley Pier, anything going on?
A couple of snook and a few trout and some small mangrove snapper. They've actually been catching some snook along the seawall walking towards the courthouse. Just had judges in my mind and couldn't get courthouse out of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been getting a little bit over there.
When the temperature's coming down, all that's going to be fishing a lot better.
Absolutely.
No, that's going to take us over to Bayshore Pier. I've had nothing on Bayshore. I know the one's closed down. It's funny how nobody wants to go to that other pier.
Ron's been fishing off of it, but they closed it for the next, I think he said, 5 days. They got it closed down for, he thinks they're going to pressure wash it and clean it. That's what they told him.
So you're going to close it down to pressure wash it?
Whatever, it's county. Come on. It's pretty self-explanatory.
I really want to try and like Charlotte County Parks and Recs. I would really like to be on their side. Damn, they make it difficult.
I know.
I mean, every time you turn around and look, they ask for public input on stuff and then do something completely different and unbelievably stupid.
Right.
They make a mess out of everything they touch.
Yeah.
It's just horrible. I'm going to have to sue the county, and I'm saying it out loud. Because if you're going to charge parking at one type of facility, you have to charge parking at all of those. Because you can go to a kayak ramp and you don't have to pay for it
right.
to park there. But if you go to a boat ramp, you have to pay for it.
Right.
So they're either going to have to get rid of the pay at the boat ramps, or they're going to have to charge for parking at the kayak ramps. Because you can't. And the boat ramps are actually paid for by the boaters in the first place.
That's right.
There's a fund that comes out of boat registrations. Part of when you register your boat, that money goes to the county for boat ramps and maintenance and all that other stuff. So if we're already paying for it, now we got to pay for it again. Why is the kayak ramps and the little push-in launches there, why is it free for them? They don't pay for registration. They don't put any money into it, and they don't have to put any money. They're not being charged at all, and the regular boaters are being charged twice.
Right. They get to utilize all of the resources without contributing anything to it.
So what I'm thinking I'm going to have to do is hopefully right around the first year, things are going to slow down a little bit. I'm going to go up to the county attorney's office and say, okay, how do I go about filing a lawsuit against the county, you know? Because I don't know of any other way this stupidity is going to stop. You know, I'm going to sue them for like a dollar. But I just, you know, I'm not trying to make any money off of it, but I'm trying to prove a point. You guys cannot keep, you know, they literally take the eggs from the goose that's laying the golden eggs.
Right.
And toss them away. It would be any different. But they're just throwing it away. So, anyway, Bayshore Pier, what did we discuss?
He's caught a couple of small bull sharks. Some big jacks came through with them when the mullet were cruising through. And he said one guy out there caught a short cobia. So, been a handful of fish out there, but it's hit or miss. Especially on a windy day like today, I don't think I'd want to be out there. I think I'd miss it just fine.
Actually, today would be the day to be on Bayshore Pier.
A northeast wind.
Yeah, the wind's at your back. You're going to have the wind at your back. You'll be able to cast wherever you want to. Probably cast halfway to the west wall today. Just throw it up in the air and let the wind take it across.
You'd have to do that just to get the 3 feet of water from that point, though.
Okay.
It's pretty skinny.
Yeah, it's a little skinny out there. A guy was in, he says, he's going to Cape Hayes. I said, man, I wouldn't be going there today. He's like, well, I'm going to be in the ICW. You're still, Cape Hayes is in the teeth of the wind today.
Right.
And I said, there's so many places to fish along the intercoastal. It's surprising how they want to drive by so many fish to get to somewhere else where there might be fish.
See that all the time.
So, all right. Port Charlotte Beach, the canals, things in Port Charlotte, water.
Snook have been moving in real good and through the canal system. Been some big black drum being seen and also caught. Lots of mangrove snapper, some small jacks. Been a handful of reports of juvenile tarpon in most of the canals. Some of the way back canals, like along Edgewater and even up closer towards, like, I guess that would be Cochrane, Toledo Blade, basically by the high school. They've been getting into some sand bream, tilapia, and Mayan cichlids up in there. Salinity's dropping, so a lot of these sand bream are starting to move back up into their old haunts where they can overwinter because they like that lower salt content.
They can overwinter?
You know what I mean. They're snowbirds. They migrate back up into the canals in the wintertime and move out to the mouths of the canals in the summertime.
No problem, but you were telling me I was making up words earlier, and I'm going to tell you that's
well, a overwinter is a real word.
Overwinter? It might be real words, but I'm not sure they have actual meaning together. All right, Elgin Pier. Over Elgin Pier.
Over Elgin Pier?
Yes.
Seagulls. A couple sky rats.
Go ahead.
They've been getting a few snook now, finally. And a handful of trout have started to move in there, but they're pretty small and scattered. And then mangrove snapper. And that is it. I haven't heard of any juvenile tarpon up there this week at all from anyone fishing around it.
The water's looking normal there, finally.
Is it?
Yeah.
Instead of looking like over it every day.
Instead of looking like you're 20 miles upriver, it looks normal. There's a little bit of less of a dark brown color there.
Well, that area right there in the river, being the mouth of Niagara River, it does get really, really muddy there, really, really brown. It's just weird because, as Robert says, it has its own microclimate, its own microhabitat. And even when it's fresh, there's still a lot of saltwater fish there. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few places that just continuously holds fish.
Yeah.
It's really surprising.
Nice place to fish.
It's pretty impressive.
Micah Cutoff, Tippecanoe, the river.
A lot more snook moving up into the Tippecanoe and Micah Cutoff area as a whole. There has been a few reports of redfish up in there, but I haven't gotten very many. But the snook, I'm getting a lot more reports on snook. The topwater bite in there.
Yeah, real good time for artificial up there.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been getting quite a few topwater guys going in there in the evenings and even in the mornings and doing fairly well. A couple guys did get into some jacks in the 5-pound range too while throwing their topwaters. So, and that's about all I got up in there. I haven't heard of any ladyfish or snapper or anything like that.
Okay. Anything more?
No, not up in there. Just, you know, don't leave those artificials at home if you're going to be fishing in there, because that's the time of the year and it's the place that it really works out good.
All right. South Gulf Cove.
Honestly, all I got is the Mayan cichlids and the tilapia again.
Okay.
He's still having a fun time up in there.
Yeah, but you can sure catch those.
Yeah. I got one customer who's been fishing in there a lot.
All right. The West Wall.
Oh, a lot of snook. Quite a few redfish. Water's getting clearer and clearer over there. There's been some trout moving up and down on top of the bar and just on the outside of the bar. A couple guys have been skipping Pompano, but I haven't heard of anyone catching any. And then as you get down a little bit further south, as you start to work towards Cape Hayes, getting some more, they're seeing a few more bonnet heads down in that area too. It's not too bad, and personally I think it's a little better right now than the east side because it's quieter.
Yeah, it's quieter. You don't have all that boat traffic.
Yep, that's what I like about it.
And those trout on
and there's
that
still
outer
a sailboat stuck down there on the inside of the bar that's been there for about 4 weeks.
It must have pulled loose during one of the storms.
Yeah, it's been there for about 4 weeks and it's almost down by Blowdown Creek. It's on the inside of the bar. It's 24, 26.
Yeah, one of those old Morgan types. And they end up everywhere. I don't know what it is, but you go along some of the shores. What's going to be interesting to see is because the owner's not going to come get it.
Right.
So you're going to watch that. And as it gets a little more water, sand inside of it, it'll start to go. That boat will actually just drop down under the sand. You'll be able to watch the boat go under and then the mast and everything, and then it'll just be gone.
Did they get rid of that sailboat off the end of Boca Grande?
No.
It's still stuck there on the rocks?
Yeah.
There's a big one that happened during whatever that last hurricane
was. Yeah, he was anchored out there by the old phosphate docks, and I actually stopped and checked on it a couple times because it was sitting there with nobody on board, and the local authorities there checked on it and notified the owner about it, and he said he had engine trouble and was trying to get it moved, and then the hurricane came through and put him on the rocks.
Put him right on the rocks at the point.
Really?
Yeah. It's a big boat, too. It's 30-plus footer, isn't it?
All full of holes now?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And if it's not now, when they go to pull it off, it will be.
Yeah, it's like the only place you can hit rocks, and it's going to take them out right there.
It's
like,
really? It's the way it works. If there's one rock there, your boat's going to find it.
All right, we get Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes. Bonnethead sharks are starting to move out on top of it. The trout are starting to move onto it. A lot of ladyfish. Had a couple guys get bit off. So I'm assuming that they're Spanish mackerel or bluefish.
Bluefish and Spanish there.
Okay. That's kind of what I was figuring, but the guy wasn't willing to try anymore after that because I asked him if he saw any free jumpers or anything like that. And he said, nope, just clean bites. And then the snook are still right on the inside of the cut there between Turtle Bay and Muddy Bay.
What is there?
The snook.
Oh, gotcha.
And then the snook and redfish are up inside Muddy Bay there. Not great numbers, but definitely fishable numbers. And pinfish are the main answer for those guys down there right now. And shrimp out on the Cape Hayes flat there. Just shrimp would be my first choice for all of the other critters.
Yeah. Just trying to get some of this cleaned up. Got to get ready to move. Because I take everything we write all the time. And when you go to, when you're looking at the spots on the fishing report, if you look at the, there says, on each one of them says fishing history. Everything that's here, every time, you know, a month or two goes by, I move those onto a page that just has, like, right now, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. There's a separate page that has everything that we've wrote for that for, like, the last two or three years. And it was funny because the first several years we were doing this, I would just delete them and erase them. And I said, you know, maybe somebody would like to look back on that.
That's right. So always good to have hysterical reference.
So I did. I built a separate page for every one of these places. And it has any old reports from when I started, you know, actually saving the reports. That's what those history things are for. Anyway, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
A lot of trout. Whole lot of trout, assorted sizes, from small to pretty decent.
You know, it's probably not good that I'm saving those because that means all these spelling errors and are like saved forever as far as however long the internet lasts. Who knows? It could be a week or could be a while.
Depends on the solar flares.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay, lots of trout.
Quite a few snook and redfish moving around inside of there.
Yeah.
I've heard of a couple of like small to moderate sized bull sharks in there that have been fouling a lot of those mullet that were all balled up last week up inside there. And then a handful of ladyfish. I haven't heard much else up in there. I mean, week before last I heard about a few sheep's head. I don't know if they've still been around.
There's still sheep head in there, yeah.
They're up under the mangroves and around those shacks.
Yep, and you know, low tide, you'll see them out there dibbling around, make out you think tailing. They're a redfish.
Tailing sheep's head instead of a tailing redfish?
That's a harder fish to catch than any redfish tailing.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, mullet are pretty right there with
them. Well, yeah, if you get the mullet to bite, you've done something special.
You see a mullet tail that out there, it's like, ooh, look at that. Oh, no, never mind.
I actually hooked a mullet one time on a white bait.
Mm-hmm. I caught one on a mirror lure. In the mouth.
And didn't you, like, the same day or 2 days later get one on, like, a lure also?
Yeah, I think it was a weird week, but I've caught two now on lures where they've actually hit the lure, pictures of them with a back treble hook in their mouth. I mean, lower lip and upper lip. They literally came right over the back to try and eat it. And then I had one that was hanging on a thread fin. And, I mean, he had to attack that thread fin, whether he was mad at the thread fin or wanted to eat it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Just no idea. But mullet are weird, weird fish. People say, oh, it's a vegetarian, which is completely ridiculous.
Yeah. So is a pacu.
Yeah. They eat.
So are the tilapia.
Yeah, the tilapia, the pacus, the carp, the... You know, mullet, they say, oh, they're all vegetarian. That's ridiculous. They eat worms, they eat bugs, they'll eat shrimp. We know for a fact they eat shrimp because there's literally nothing else in our bait tanks. And we've had that one pot of mullet in there for, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
And we'd throw a little bit of sand in there once in a while for them. And all they ate, they'd go around, they'd grab a piece of shrimp meat, shake the shell off of it, and eat it. I mean, they adapted.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef. Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel. Spanish mackerel scattered throughout that whole area there. Other than that, I've got nothing else on it. Never heard.
You know, occasional gag grouper there. But, you know, most of those are just hooked up momentarily and it's a cutoff.
Okay.
I've been on the boat with people who have landed legal gags off there, but I've never landed a legal gag off there. Caught plenty of little babies. Mm-hmm. Little 10, 12 inchers.
All right. Between Gaspro Island and the mainland, the sound out there?
There's a lot of stuff going on out there. There's a lot of bait, a lot of trout. The redfish bite's been really good. Some in the bushes, some in the sand holes, and, low tide on the edge of the channels. Definitely on the edge of the channels, you'll find snook, trout, redfish right there with, sheephead and pompano and everything else. Especially on this new moon tide we've got coming up.
Yeah, I've been getting some pretty good reports on the trout and pompano and Spanish mackerel all along Whidden Bay.
Bluefish as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole grass flat along Whidden Bay, a lot of guys have been fishing that stand out in some of those deeper sand holes and closer to the ICW and doing fairly well.
Great time of the year to throw the artificial bait for them, too. Top water works really good in all those areas. If you get a big strike and your top water lure is gone when you go back to set the hook, it was a bluefish.
Okay, Placida Pier.
Sheep's head. They're still getting some good sheep's head off of it. The mangrove snapper kind of moved back in on it. And there's been a few Spanish mackerel, a couple of bluefish. Heard of a couple bonnet heads off of there this week. I don't know anybody that's been out there fishing at night, so I've got no night reports out there.
All right.
Nothing? You got no night reports?
Nothing from the pier.
No. Okay. A couple more clicks of the little buttons here. Just taking a minute. All right, Lemon Bay.
Honestly, I haven't had anything for up there this week at all.
But some fish are, starting to show back up in Lemon Bay. Talked with Van, and, a couple things there. He poked around a little bit up there. Trout, pompano mainly.
Okay.
Some snook showing up again.
Yeah, I just haven't had any reports up there. The Anger Pier is the only report I got this weekend. It was only one report at that.
Yeah. All right, we'll be there in just a second. Yeah. I just got a couple clicks to make.
Just strange. Usually I get at least a couple reports for up in there, and just nothing.
Okay, the pier.
The pier itself. Mangrove snapper, some ladyfish, a couple of Spanish mackerel, and a couple of small trout. They said it wasn't gangbusters, but they kept entertained for the day. Him and his kids, they've been fishing there for the last, 3 weeks in a row, so...
Yeah, wouldn't this be a great time of the year to hang a lantern or a light over that pier and fish it at night?
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think so.
I think a lot of times that's when the fish will really come out to play on that particular pier, because it gets a lot of daytime pressure.
Yeah. And the water should be really more than clear enough to be able to put some lights out. Yes. And really, one of the things about the lights is if you put a light in a Port Charlotte or Punta Gorda Canal, Harbor Heights, Northport, you might even Cape Coral, you're going to wait sometimes days, weeks, or even months to start seeing fish on it, mostly because the water's darker, murkier. It could be brown from the freshwater runoff, could just be murky with mud. But if you get out around the Gulf of Mexico, where you have 10, 15, 20, 30 feet of visibility, the fish could actually be a long ways away and go, oh, wow, what's that? And go over to it. Where in some of the canals and these other areas, they have to be right on the light to find it. And it just takes a lot longer for them to actually find and see the light. Where the clearer the water is, the more likely the fish are to come to it immediately. The dimmer the light would be because of the water color. Right now, I've probably got about an 8-foot spread to the light pattern in my canals. A month ago, I had about a 20-inch light pattern.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally just this tiny little dot of light there you could barely see. And now it's spread out. It's about 8 feet. I've probably got 8 or 10 snook on the light now. And I didn't see anything of any size where you would want to come up and go fish it. It's just, it's not worth the drive up yet. But if I see anything big, I'll let you know. But what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico?
This has got mostly you on it, because my reports have been very, very minimal because of the wind.
Yeah, you got wind, but right now you should be able to catch about any species you want to catch out there. Now, whether you're allowed to keep that in a lot of these over-harvested endangered species, that's another story. But gag grouper, red grouper, you know, gag should be improving as the water's cool. A red grouper bite has been very, very good, 65, 75 feet and closer. Good reports, you know, red grouper up to around 12, 13 pounds, and, you know, limit catches of lane and mangrove snappers. Lots of kingfish, some dolphin. You know, we were talking about those earlier in the week. You know, some nice dolphin. Captain Dan on the Hammerhead was catching some nice dolphin out there, and you know, good bottom fishing as well, and sailfish, and all
the above. How far out for the mahi and sailfish?
They were in 70 feet of water. So 17 miles, 16, 17 miles west of Boca Grande. Yeah, the water's pretty blue out there at that range now. It's not your, you know, the red tide's gone, and, you know, there's nothing to worry about out there as far as red tides, but
God, we hope so, because if we get red tide right now, it's coming all the way up the harbor. We don't have any fresh water all summer. When the media and even FWC was lying about it, saying that, and it's a flat out lie, this is not, oh gee, they made a mistake, or gee whiz, you know, okay, we thought there was, it was a flat out lie. Because nobody in their right mind, nobody who's ever been around the water for more than a week, they all know that red tide lives in salt water, not fresh water.
That's it.
So when the river's running 12 feet, it's virtually impossible to have red tide in the harbor. It cannot happen. It's like saying, even if you have a solar eclipse, it's still light out. I mean, so I don't have a point of reference for this.
Well, and when they did that closure, it said the closure was effective only on affected areas. Well, they included big areas that were definitely not affected in any way, shape, or form by it in their closure. But then they left areas that were equally not affected by it or affected by it wide open.
Well, now they got red tide on the East Coast over on the other side of Florida, and they haven't shut the fishing down over there.
Yeah.
This is all political posturing. This is to make one politician look like he's a good guy and the other politician look like he's a bad guy. Well, they're all jerks. They're all crooks. You cannot convince me a guy who spends $3 million to get a $60,000 a year job is not a crook.
There's some agenda there, isn't there?
There's something going on, and I don't care what you say. The governor's job doesn't pay enough to warrant the millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on it, or the Senate, or the Congress. I mean, who else?
Politicians in diapers. They both need to be changed frequently for the same reason.
Exactly. They're both full of crap.
Well, a perfect example is we voted for the time change, and yet none of our Florida representatives in the last 11 months since it's been voted on have brought it to the House to have it approved.
Now,
what have they been doing for the last...
Are we changing the time?
No, it's... Yeah, we still got to change time because it hasn't been approved yet.
When did we change the time?
Sunday.
Tonight.
Tomorrow.
Tonight?
So
we
got to
change the time.
Yep.
Good God.
We just got screwed out of an hour.
Yeah, we basically voted, big majority vote, leave it alone, let's keep on the same time. And nobody has followed through with that vote.
Yeah,
you know, we've got one of our
representatives are supposed to get it.
Was it the senator who's been there for like 30, 40 years? And he's saying the other guy who's been in office for like 8 years, didn't do anything about anything. He's been there 40 freaking years.
Well, he did get several nice facelifts, you know.
Yeah, he did.
He's got a smile all the time now.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, I mean, what is it with people from that party? I've seen the other ones on TV, and they're all from that party, man. They all look like they got Halloween masks on. I mean, this is scary.
Like the Joker from Batman.
Yeah. What the heck is going on? Do they really think that looks good? Like, oh, gee, we're just going to pretend we're young? They're all, like, maybe they're actually petrifying is what it is. They're so old.
After a certain age, you should get your butt out of there. I mean, you know, 30 years, that's way too long.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to be in any Congress or Senate or any public office for more than 8 years.
Amen.
So, anyway, I'm giving them even 10 on some of them, because some of them, they're a politician, it takes them a long time to learn. It would have to be a while before they could figure it out.
Yeah, if the president can stay for two, nobody else should be able to stay longer than two.
Yeah. So, anyway, Venice, what's going on?
Off the jetties up there, they're doing pretty good. Spanish mackerel, been some pompanos, mangrove snapper, started to move back in there again. A few reports on some bigger snook also being caught there off the jetties. And then the Sharkey's Pier, kind of the same scenario. Mostly Spanish mackerel, but I have heard of a couple king mackerel being hooked up there. So it's been not too bad. It's starting to get better up there. A lot of bait, a lot of small fry up there. I don't know, some of it's glass minnows, some of it's greenbacks, but there's just a lot of life up there.
Okay, that's going to put a stump.
Stump Pass, I haven't had anything this week at all.
You know, the pompano, we're coming from Stump Pass.
Pompano?
Yeah. Okay. Outside the bar and inside.
Okay. Gasparilla?
Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, and a few bonnethead sharks. It's been not too bad there.
There's some trout on the inside, coming up inside the pass, just on the inside of the bridges there. There'll be some trout on those channels, right on the grass edges. A lot of bait, big pods of bait were all over that place, so you know, life has returned.
Boca?
Same thing.
A lot of Spanish mackerel, some bluefish.
Tarpon in the pass.
Yeah.
Stacked up 30 feet thick on the holes.
Mangrove snapper have started to pick up a little bit there, and a couple guys are starting to pick up a few sheep's head also there.
Inside the bayous, there's, you know, plenty of bait fish in there. There's some small threads and a lot of glass minnows, a lot of spawning size mullet, you know, that are just fattening themselves, and you know, jacks and snook, big mangrove snapper. It's a, you know, good time to fish in that area.
Sitting there looking, trying to figure out what word it was I was spelling on that. Like, man, that was bad even for me. Okay, I'm going to get a couple of them fixed. Get one more. All right. And Captiva.
Captiva's been a few Spanish mackerel and a few pompano, and then a couple guys seeing a handful of snook and tarpon right along the edge of the pass. But other than that, I haven't much else for reports down there. A
couple of good reports of some redfish schools, but they're, you know, in the area one day and anywhere from Captiva all the way back up in behind Cabbage Key.
Okay.
There was some big schools in there.
Redfish?
Redfish.
A redfish pass? I got nothing.
No, I was asking Morris.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard any reports from that far south.
Okay.
Usually falls in line after that one, so that's where I thought he was asking.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just going to put some question marks there. Okie dokie. Let's see, a little bit of touch up here and there. And we're down to, if you're going to walk along the beach, any beaches doing good? We got a lot of people going up to Nokomis. Let's put a little Nokomis on this.
Yeah. Yeah, right there around the Venice jetties, both the north and the south side. That's been Spanish mackerel, some snook, pompano. You know what I haven't heard of, which should be there, would be some flounder.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably some swimming around, because this is that time of year when they really start to show up along those beaches and those passes.
be really hard to beat a silly jig or a little spoon throwing a, you know, right around the, if you're fishing off the beach there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great idea.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
All right. A little bit of touch-up work here. And Sanibel, Ponarasa?
Nothing.
I have heard no reports from
I've got nothing down there. I know the water's cleaned up unbelievably well, but I have not heard of anyone fishing it much.
You know, Morris, did you hear about the guy who was, I was saying, he was telling me that the Coosahatchee was responsible for all the red tide we had this summer? And I said, you really think the Coosahatchee is responsible for the red tide, like up by Englewood and Venice and all that? I said, it is rather north up the current. I said, I just don't see how the Coosahatchee can affect anything in the Gulf north of Boca Grande Pass. I said, you know, we have the loop current there. And he said, oh, no, the loop current stopped.
Oh, gosh.
That, and, I mean, he was told me, he was convinced the loop current in the Gulf of Mexico just paused, stopped, because he heard it on the news that this happened. And he looked on the Internet and on Facebook, and I don't remember if it was CNN or ABC or NBC or wherever it was, but they were literally telling that the loop current in the Gulf stopped, and that's why the Coosahatchee could affect that water up there. I said, so you're telling me England's in an ice age?
Yeah.
England's actually in the Arctic. So is France. Right. I mean, when you look at, take a line across from Canada, I mean, they should be covered up in ice and snow all year long. Without the Gulf of Mexico, specifically the loop current, which starts the Gulf Stream going, without that, that whole part of Europe is frozen over all year. No summer, just frozen. And he said, oh, no. It doesn't affect that. I said, so the loop current doesn't affect the Gulf Stream?
No.
Doesn't affect Europe? No. This is where these green shirts, and the only reason I keep saying green shirts is because they remind me of the brown shirts.
The brown shirts.
Yeah. Look it up. You'll figure it out. You know, and I mean, they're right, and everybody else is just drastically wrong, even if it goes against the laws of physics, natures, and the planets. Okay, Coosahatchee River.
Got nothing.
Not a thing.
None of the boys from down there sent you anything?
No, they're going to lose their place on my report.
Right.
And it's my store, so I guess I don't know who I'd replace them with, so I'm not even going to threaten them.
Right.
You know, they do a great job, except I can't get fishing reports out of them.
No kidding.
All right. I'm just going to bypass some of this stuff. Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's doing really good. I'm getting a lot of reports down there from the Indian fields and the bridge itself and just north up there heading towards Two Pines. Trout. A lot of trout of assorted sizes. Redfish and snook down, especially down there in the Indian fields. Been some juvenile and even some adult tarpon cruising through the ICW. Off the Matt Lachey, they've been getting some snook, some mangrove snapper, and an occasional sheep's head. And then there's been some good trout up closer towards Smokehouse.
Smokehouse Bay, yeah. Redfish, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just be careful. You can get run over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't fished it in a long time, so I'm not.
If you fish on that shoreline at all and stake it down there and, you know, put your corks out there, people like to come around that corner trying to set a new Charlotte Harbor speed record.
Trying to go for a land water-based record?
I, you know, I was warning a guy because you can wade out from Ponce on that sandbar all the way out past the channel markers. You know, by going a little bit north and following around, you can get way out there. You're only knee-deep water, and you're a couple of yards offshore. I said, wear an orange hat. He's like, what? I said, wear an orange vest or an orange hat. Otherwise, you got a really good chance of getting run over. He's like, well, you know, I'll be standing there. I'm like, no, you don't look different enough from the water. You need to have, like, a yellow flashing light on your head or something. So, going over to Pine Island Sound.
A lot of trout, starting to pick up better numbers of them and better sizes of them. Most of the reports I've been getting have been from the shacks over to Captiva Pass all the way up to Yuseppa. You know, both sides of basically the backside of Cayo Costa and the whole whole islands and little troughs.
Yeah, Part Island and there in those areas.
And then they've also been getting some redfish and a few snook up along the shoreline there, just above the shacks. And the Spanish mackerel, a few bluefish, and a couple small black tips and bonnet heads cruising along in some of those deeper troughs up there. You know, a lot of different life going on, and it's getting really clear water down there from what I've been told.
It's not a bad time of the year to, when you're going by those channel markers, if you're running the ICW, to just keep a little eyeball around there. You could see a real nice cobia circling those things.
You know, it's funny how many times people think, they don't think of channel markers as structure. And channel markers are where you find bait, where you find triple tail, cobia. There are so many fish that will go around some of the channel markers. Up on the river, I fish a lot of the manatee signs.
Yeah.
Because that's two big pilings with the shade from the sign right there. So if you can get up current from it, so the shade's on the back side of you and you can anchor up, there's some really nice fish hanging out on those signs. And nobody does it. I see them fishing all the shorelines, the islands. Nobody fishes the signs. Nobody fishes the marker, except like marker two or something where people talk about it. But every marker, whether it's got one piling or four, is good structure.
Absolutely. So, and most of the time they're at the edge of deeper water, so they're not just stuck, like those manatee signs aren't just stuck way up in some shallow spot.
Yes, they are.
Well,
some of them are.
Some of them are.
That's why they were put there, is because you shouldn't be there.
But some are near a drop-off area, so it can bring fish into them very readily.
And this only goes for the Peace River, but if there's a channel marker and a manatee sign, the manatee sign is set over where it's starting to get shallow, but between the manatee sign and the marker, that's where there's usually good water there. But, you know, around the marker is real good. If it's really bad, the sign's right there. But the manatee signs on the Peace River, only the Peace River, are all on the bad side of the river. Any other area is all just kind of random mark. But the Peace River was done to a very specific purpose to tell you, nope, this is not the good part. Okay. I know the guy who put him in.
I do too.
Okay, Jug Creek Shoals.
There's been some Spanish there. Some trout starting to show up there a little bit more consistently. Been some ladyfish, a handful of pompano. A couple guys have been seeing some sheep's head moving around along there, but those are always fish that are just coming and going from one spot to another. Usually they're heading into the creek itself and up
some
along the mangrove
black tips
shore.
And bonnet heads running around there too.
Okay, there you go.
Especially up in that shallow grass area.
Oh, with all the mullet out there, it should be pretty easy pickings.
Yeah, that's a good place right in there. I like that.
It's a pretty area.
All right. Yeah, I do too. I love going down there and fishing. I take the DOA cow shads, just toss them and slow reel them, and I catch everything from tiny grouper to trout, to you name it. I mean, any spiny boxfish, puffers. I mean, there's just a vast variety of fish up there. All right, hang on just a second. Okay, we're going to move on to Burnt Store Two Pines. And while we took a break and, you know, hit the bathrooms and did all that kind of stuff. Yes, because this fishing report goes on forever. But I was telling Robert, my blood sugar's been a little high, and, you know, yesterday we had Halloween candy around in the store, and, you know, and I just said, screw it, it's going to blow my blood sugar all out of proportion. But I had some M&Ms, some Snickers, and Kit Kat, and a few other, probably 10 of those little bite-sized candy things yesterday. And I woke up this morning going, oh God, this is going to be bad. My blood sugar is going to be like 300 and something, you know. I'm going to have to go down and get extra meds. And it was 147. 140 is normal. Out of all the times, and Morris and I are both type 2 diabetics. And, or I'm pre-diabetic or diabetic or possibly something, maybe not, but probably. But anyway, you just never know what's going to happen. You know, you eat all the wrong stuff and you're fine. You eat all the right stuff and it goes crazy on you. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing I did figure out, that the more I move around, the more active I am, the lower my blood sugar goes. Mm-hmm. And if I'm doing a lot of paperwork, and you know, I'm sitting in one spot a lot, shoots right through the roof. And that's the only difference I can think of.
Well, it's two things that they put on there: diet, exercise.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, Burnt Store, Two Pines.
Let's see. You got some snook and redfish along the shoreline.
Okay. You did. Nope. Something's messed up.